I've been alone with you inside my mind. And in my dreams I've kissed your lips a thousand times. I sometimes see you pass outside my door. Hello.
All right, here we are, podcast number four, right?
Yeah.
Podcast four, Cowboys Ride for Free. We got me, Sam Bryant, as usual, Cincy on the line. Say hi, Cincy.
Hi.
And then we got the new guy, Royal John, on the line. Say hi, Royal.
Hello.
That's not his real voice, hopefully. This is the first time I've talked to him. That better not be his fucking real voice. All right, So we're sitting here, what is today, Tuesday, the 21st. We're going to be doing a little quick Tulsa recap and going into other thoughts on Oklahoma State and all that. So first up, let's go ahead and talk about that Tulsa game. I know a lot's already been said about it. I mean, we'll keep this pretty brief, but Royal, you want to start us off? What'd you come out of that game with? What'd you like? And I mean, there wouldn't be much not to like, but what are your thoughts?
It was definitely an improvement over the week before we played Troy, obviously. I think that a lot of that had to do with, you know, Brandon Whedon not turning the ball over four times. But
yeah,
I mean it was pretty much the best situation you could probably have. I mean, while our starters were in, Tulsa only scored 7 points and we racked up, you know, 51 or 58, and then our backups came in and just mopped up the rest of the time. I was actually really impressed with Shelf. I mean, going back to last year, I didn't think that he was going to be much of a factor on the team, but apparently he's improved so much that he's now taking the backup quarterback job. I mean, he came out and fired a rocket 42 yards for Isaiah Anderson, so I think he's pretty legit.
Hit him in stride. I mean, you make a good point there. I mean, he's come so far. That guy wasn't even on the radar. I mean, they kind of pulled him away, and they were kind of going with Deaton, and mm-hmm. I guess he's just kind of worked his ass off, and God, he from what I understand, he looks great.
Yeah, he was solid. Anyone else on the second team? I noticed Fur a lot. I don't know if anyone else. He seemed to kind of be in the right position a lot there in the fourth quarter. And Sean Lewis, once again, just every time I see that guy run, he just blows me away. That is a fast, fast, hard-hitting dude. Pretty excited to start him next year.
Yeah, Sean had five solo tackles, and that was the second leading total amount for the entire game, right behind James Thomas, who had six.
Wow.
Tyler Johnson, you remember him? The walk-on
who used to play playing football? In the middle, yeah.
Yeah, he had five tackles, too. So, I mean, and then obviously big ups to Cooper Bassett, recording the only sack of the game and his first sack of his collegiate career. So that's pretty cool, too.
And that was with the first team, too. That was the first half, I believe. So, I mean, he's been getting some run early. Good to see him in there. So, I mean,
Randall looked a little bit more physical. Randall had 72 yards. He actually had more yards than Hunter did.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, good to see them getting him involved early. I think that's definitely, I don't know, I felt like that was pretty strategic on Dana's part to get him some reps early. I think we're definitely going to lean on him pretty hard, you know, as we get into Big 12 play and when the games become a little more serious. So, and he responds well. I mean, he's
a stud.
He really is. He's out of control.
Yeah. I think he's going to be great when Hunter ends up graduating this year. I mean, I think that it gives a lot of confidence to know that, you know, we're not going to have to reload so much next year. I mean, the kid's going to step up. And I didn't see Jeremy Smith out there very often.
He played.
I know he played. I didn't see him as much as I thought that I would. I'm not sure if that had to do. I heard that he had slightly re-injured his shoulder. I'm not sure if that had to do with it or... Yeah. What's going on, but hopefully he'll see a little bit more time, especially when the schedule gets tougher and we're at the red zone and need some tough yards.
I don't know how much he was in, but I specifically remember what, he had like a sweep left where he looked really solid. He was real patient. I mean, it was in the first half, so with the first team. I think he ended up getting 10 or so yards, but had a real nice run. I get real nervous when he goes out around the end. He doesn't seem to turn the corner as well as those other two guys, but it looked real nice on that run. I don't know. It may have been his only carry of the game. I honestly don't remember much else from him, but looked good in where I saw him. But
I noticed today he had a touchdown, and I couldn't remember. You guys know off the top of your head when he scored?
He had a touchdown against Washington State.
Washington State. Okay, I didn't remember that. But yeah, I for some reason was thinking it was against Tulsa, but I didn't remember that either. I was pretty drunk though, so.
It was good to see Anium get back into it too with two touchdowns. That one catch over the middle was a great catch. I mean, shows that, you know what I mean? See, last year he had some dropping issues, and it was good to see him come out and, you know, snag that ball out of the air and place it right on the goal line for the touchdown.
And he was fighting for yards on a couple of on that same drive, that earlier catch he had too. He wasn't going down. I like seeing that. That's all I received. I think I wrote about that in my recap. I don't know if it's just a coaching thing or all the competition at wide receiver, but these wide receivers do not go down. I mean, they're almost like running back, especially Moore, Cooper, Blackman, and now Anium. I mean, those four guys all just, I mean, they just do not go down on contact, which is kind of rare to see out of a receiving core.
You know, I read an article today, actually. It was a quote from Ori Lemon talking about that very thing and just how physical Justin Blackman has become and how last year he really did, you know, with any contact, he would really stomp on the initial contact. And Ori was just basically talking Blackman up that he has just worked his ass off to get stronger, to get faster, to get more physical. And but you can really see, and you can't. You can see when he gets hit, he fights for whatever he can get.
So,
that's
you're
really
saying, you're saying Ori ripped off my article?
Yeah, I'm saying you need to look into that.
I think I will.
He's ripping us off like the sports animal.
Why don't you face him face to face and say,
I think I will.
I'll send him a message on Twitter. Yeah. And
I'll
try to get a face to face.
Moving on a little bit from the Tulsa
thing,
what do we think about the, just how the season is shaped up so far? I mean, obviously two huge wins, one that was, could have been a huge win if it wasn't for some mistakes. And, just how the teams look. Cincy, you want to start us off? What do you think? Just kind of an overall viewpoint of how the team's been this year.
Overall, I'm pretty encouraged. I mean, you look at the amount of players
we're scoring. Expected?
I'd say so. Yeah. I mean, I think the offense is definitely better than what I expected. It seems to be kind of clicking and really good to see Whedon kind of get that passing game going. I mean, we didn't have to lean on Hunter at all against Tulsa. And, you know, so it's nice to kind of to see a little bit of both. You know, we've seen Hunter go absolutely crazy when they feed him the ball. We've seen, you know, Whedon go crazy when our receivers are single covered. And, so we've seen kind of each side of the spectrum. And then, you know, you've kind of got that constant of Blackman, you know, averaging 150 yards and two TDs a game or whatever. So I'm encouraged offensively, defensively. You know, we basically held Tulsa, who is considered, you know, before this week anyway, Tulsa was considered to be a pretty high powered offense.
I read they were terrible.
I don't know. And all I heard here in Tulsa was that Kenny was on the same level as Whedon, and Kenny could be a Big 12 caliber back, and that their offense was fourth in the nation, and Kenny was fourth in the nation. And I mean, he was a non-factor. I mean, we basically held them to 7 points, before Gundy cleared the bench. And so, That's pretty impressive. They're getting better each week, and we've got some athletes, and we've got some studs on both sides of the ball, so I'm encouraged.
Royal?
Let me see. In some areas, I think we have exceeded. Other areas, I think we still need a lot of work to hit the good areas first. I mean, to touch on what Cincy was saying as far as the defense goes, we're 11th in the nation in takeaways, whether it be interceptions or fumble recovery. So that's really good. So, you know, despite what people say about the points, you know, against, you know, our second or third team defense, it's obvious that our first team is getting the job done because, you know, when you can create that many turnovers, even if it is a non-conference portion of the schedule, it means a lot.
Yeah.
The scoring offense is second behind, of course, Oregon, who just loves to,
yeah, they're insane.
Score hundreds of points.
They're, I saw a thing where they're averaging a point a minute.
We
have to be somewhat close.
Yeah.
It's pretty close. We're right behind Stanford in the tops in the nation for red zone conversions. We're 16 of 16. They're 19 of 19. 12 of those for us are TDs, so that's really good. That's means that we're able to actually convert. But on the other end of that, before I get into that, this is actually a crazy stat. 10 of our 22 TDs, almost half of them, are 20 yards or more.
Wow.
Half of our touchdowns are 20 yards, like huge plays. That's just ridiculous. I mean, obviously, that speaks a lot of, you know, the big plays of Hunter and Whedon because they just get it done. But let's see what else. As far as special teams goes, 24 of our 30 kickoffs have been touchbacks, so that's really good.
Quinn Sharp.
Yeah, Quinn Sharp is absolutely a stud. And then, but getting into the bad side of things, on the 6 returns that have came out, we are the worst kickoff.
Our kick coverage is awful.
It's really bad. We, I think, double everybody else
in average yards.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've had 6. Well, for the people that have had 6 come out, like we have, we have nearly double the yards of the next worst person. I think we have like 250 yards against us in kickoff return. So, I mean, that's pretty ugly. And we're 74th in punt coverage, too. So it's not just the kickoff. It just looks like it's the coverage units altogether that really, really need work. And I'm not sure how much of that's coaching, and I'm not sure how much of that is the fact that we are starting 6 freshmen. But
yeah,
one way or the other, I mean, it's out of the conference. I mean, it's about to get into the conference schedule, and it doesn't matter. You've got to shore it up. You've got to make sure that, you know, the other team isn't starting near the 50-yard line, because then you're putting the defense in a bad spot, like what happened during Troy. So that's just one of those things you have to take care of. The other bad thing is that our third down conversion rate is actually only 43%. We're 16 of 37. So anytime that's less than half, that's pretty bad. And I know Holger's been prepping about that as well. So hopefully,
yeah,
you know, and I think a lot of that will be taken care of as more experience comes and the more we run the plays. So I'm not too worried about it yet, but it's just one of those things that you have to, you know, kind of watch out for, because you don't want to be stuck in a, you know, situation where we already have a fast-paced offense, and then if we can't keep our offense on the field because we can't convert third downs, then our defense is going to get worn out.
Exactly.
I just looked up our kickoff return stuff. Our opponents are averaging 42 yards per kick return.
Oh, jeez.
That's unbelievable. I mean, it's only 6 returns, like you said, but 42, I mean, I guess one of them's been taken all the way back, plus Jernigan had that other one that he took back to, like, the 30.
Yeah.
And it's all
Jernigan is really influencing that. I mean, if you're only talking about 6 and one's a touchdown, and one was returned 55 yards or so.
Well, then what the number 3 for Tulsa? His name's escaping me right now. He had a solid one last week too. They took
back
good like that 42.
He was like their little scat white receiver, wasn't he? I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you guys something really quick. Hold on. Okay. One player. No. Just bear with me. One player has 11 tackles, 4 for loss, and 2 sacks. Who is it?
Rashetti. How many sacks?
What'd you say, Sam?
Rashetti.
How many sacks does he have?
2. Are you fucking cheating?
No.
Get off the internet.
I'm going to say Tanaka. I'll go Chinasa.
Okay. No, you both. Okay, so since he says Rashetti, Sam says Chinasa, correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Another player has 5 tackles, 0 for loss, and 0 sacks. Who do you think that is?
I think that's Chinasa.
Yeah, that's Chinasa.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Rashetti was the first one, and Chinas is the second one.
Boom!
Is that a little surprising? I mean, coming from...
I think it is.
Hugo's supposed to be our, like, you know, big-time pass rusher, and, I mean, he was... I mean, I'm not saying, you know, he was talking too much junk, but, I mean, he was aiming for double-figure sacks. That was his whole goal this year, and he hasn't recorded one. He hasn't even recorded one tackle for a loss yet. Only 5 tackles altogether.
I thought he had a sack. I guess he didn't.
That's kind of alarming. That's kind of alarming because I would have to, you know, he's been very, it's been just very strange, I'd say, each game. You look at how the game goes and you don't hear his name. Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you didn't know anything about him before and you're new to Oklahoma State football and you're just listening to these games on the radio, you wouldn't know who the fuck Hugo Chinasa is. And that's crazy. I mean, that's insane. Seeing as he's really supposed to be kind of one of the leaders there on D. So yeah, I agree. That's crazy.
On the other end, Rashetti's been a maniac, which is great to see.
Yeah.
Yeah,
finally playing up to potential now.
Out.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not sure where everyone else ranks, but I just thought that was really, really odd that Hugo's stats were that low. I mean, that's less than 2 tackles a game. That's, I don't know. I don't know if that's because people aren't running to his side or I don't know because, I mean, Rashetti just looks like he's a beast and he's always in the backfield.
That's what I mean. You notice Rashetti. I mean, it's not like you can watch every individual player on every play, but on defense, I notice Rashetti at least once every series. I've noticed Chinasa about 2 times the whole season just because Rashetti's always there causing some kind of disturbance. He's always back there doing something.
And hopefully Hugo picks it up because we're definitely going to need him once the conference comes around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll need him against A&M. I mean,
Hey, we're not talking about A&M yet.
Okay. All right.
We have to do a next week podcast.
All right.
All right, so we're all pretty impressed with what the Cowboys have done so far, I think, on both sides of the ball. Some young mistakes in the Troy game, but outside of that, I mean, you're almost nitpicking at a certain point to find anything wrong.
Is there any concern, do you guys have any concern with the goal line situation?
See, I'm not. I'm really not. I think because of the whole red zone conversion, I mean, when you get 12 TDs, when you're 16 for 16 and 12 of those are TDs, and
yeah.
I don't know. Like I know that we threw the fades after not being able to punch it in the first time, but I believe each time those fades were on second down. So
yeah.
I mean, even if those don't connect, then you've got a third down conversion to try to punch it in again.
I kind of look at it. I mean, it's sort of a football trend. I mean, the Vikings game this weekend, they gave it to Peterson, 3 times in a row, and he couldn't get it in from the one.
Yeah.
I mean, goal line defenses have just gotten so much better and so much more innovative and just smarter with how they run, just taking away every option you have. It's just, I mean, it's not that just not being able to cram it in from the 2-yard line, that's not just an Oklahoma State problem. That's just, I think teams have gotten a lot better with their goal line, a lot more creative with their goal line defenses in stopping some things. So you got to do different stuff. I mean, look at how many teams line up in a freaking shotgun 4 or 5 wide set when they're on the 2, when they're going for a 2-point conversion, say. I mean, it's just pretty much standard practice to line up in a four wide set when you're going for a two point conversion anymore.
I agree with that. I guess I'm a little old school in that. I like to see that kind of hard nosed lineup at the one, you know, and fucking punch it in. And I just, it's a little, I don't know. I just think when you're at the 1 yard line and you've got a running back like Hunter, it just doesn't seem, they don't seem like they can do it. And, I don't know. It's probably nitpicking a little bit. That's really the only thing on offense where I would even say there's any concern.
Well, and I think also that Holgorsen realizes that maybe even more so than Gundy, and I know that's going to either make a lot of people happy to hear that or really pissed off to hear that, but I think he plays with the strength and doesn't necessarily do something just to do it. Like, he's not going to run the ball at the 1 yard line just to, you know, run the ball at the 1 yard line. If he sees that Justin Blackmon is matched up against a 5'9" weakling cornerback, he's going to call for a fade over the shoulder.
I think that's
Exactly. Harrison's a big boy too. So I mean, I think, and when Wheaton throws like the most perfect fade, you know what I mean? It's over the shoulder every single time. And
beautiful fade.
Okay, let's.
Was that crazy? Weird about it?
Easier.
He does though. He throws it well.
Yes, he does. But I mean, I think that's what it comes down to is that if it's second down and you see that mismatch, I think you have to go for it because you have a quarterback that can throw it and you have wide receivers that can bring it down because they're big and physical. So we'll see. I mean, if it gets into third down and the fade didn't work on second down and, you know, then they choose to try to run it up the middle and it doesn't work, then I think there would be cause for concern. But for right now, it's what we're doing is working, so why not?
Agreed.
All right. Moving on. Royal been doing a little research here, which is usually kind of against our policy, but he's looking into some of our recruits for 2011. Wanted to, I think he's going to throw up a post later in the week about it too, but what do you got on the recruiting front there, Royal?
Okay. Well, I'm breaking policy by actually exerting effort. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. I'm sure I'll get the hang of it and become lazy.
Right.
The other. I think in a week or so what I'm going to do is do a breakdown on all the recruits we have so far that are committed, any new information on them and how they're looking so far in their senior seasons. But for right now, I want to talk a little bit about the prospects, and I think everybody knows that we're starving for defensive line recruits, and right now it looks like the two best prospects that we have at the tackle position are Jonathan Jenkins and Sylvester Williams. Jonathan Jenkins actually has a pretty long list of schools to attend, including Arkansas, Auburn, Tech, Ole Miss, us.
USEC.
Yeah, he's a four-star kid, and he's a JUCO. Both the guys are JUCOs, actually. So, I mean, and I'm not sure, you know, it's usually hit or miss with JUCOs, but I think at this point in time, you kind of have to take the chance. So, he's pretty much at the top of the list, I think. The other guy, Sylvester Williams, it looks like we're kind of his. I mean, he's ours to lose, pretty much. It's between us, North Carolina, and Ole Miss. And so I think that'll really come down between us and North Carolina. I think he likes the school a lot. I think that, the visits have gone really well. He's another four-star guy. So hopefully we can land both of those guys. The other guy that's on the line is actually Toby Jackson. He's a defensive end, and this kid's a flat-out stud. He's a four-star guy, and he's being recruited by Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee. So, I mean, he's another one of those Tennessee guys. But it turns out he wants actually a little bit more love from us. We've we're sending the letters and doing all that stuff, but we could probably do a little bit more attention to him because, I mean, someone who's getting offers from, Bama and Georgia and Tennessee, that's somebody we definitely probably want to look into and pay a little bit more attention to. So, I don't know. it's kind of getting close to the end. We have 17 commits. I think we can only have like three or four more, depending obviously on how many, you know, don't make it or, you know, are academically ineligible, all those little things. So, but we'll see. I mean, that's the biggest area of focus. So hopefully we'll be able to land at least two more guys on the defensive line because we definitely need it.
Yeah. That's
any word, on, not to shift gears too much, but any word on Herschel Sims? I know he was taking a trip, or there was a rumor that he was taking a trip to maybe
Texas. ECU.
He went to, well, the biggest thing was that, and, you know, I'm not ruffling any feathers here or anything, but he took a visit to Texas A&M, and then, you know, that always causes controversy because A&M fans just, you know, they automatically think anybody who comes and visits their school, it's a done deal. They're going to A&M no matter what.
Yeah.
But,
I think it's the complete opposite, actually. But
well, we'll see. He was actually at the TU game. Sims was.
And oh,
the
great.
Whole thing, yeah, and the whole thing right now is a big rumor, which there's no evidence of yet, is that he basically wants his cousin to come with him no matter where he goes. I believe his name's Ronnell Sims, I think, and he's a quarterback for the same team. Obviously, he wouldn't be a QB at Oklahoma State. I think that he'd play more of a slot guy. I mean, he's a good athlete. He's a three-star athlete, but you just hate to get in a situation where you start to be, like, held hostage by recruits. Like, I'm not going to come to your school unless, you know,
yeah,
my cousin can come with me kind of deal, which I don't think is the case. I think Sims, running back Sims, Herschel Sims, is going to be committed. I think he's going to come to Oklahoma State. I think that he went to A&M to take the trip to just do it. I mean, if you're a kid and you can go anywhere you want, it's for free, and you get to bring your family, and you get treated
right.
like a king. You know what I mean? Take advantage of it. I think
yeah.
that him and J.W. Walsh have done enough talking, and they really want to be the next core unit that leads Oklahoma State. And I think that's just, you know what I mean? I think it's solid. I think that he's going to come, and whether if we end up offering his cousin, great. I mean, we can always use more wide receivers. Holgorsen, you know, already said that we don't have enough as it is. So, I mean, offer him if we have a chance, but don't necessarily offer him and lose out on a defensive tackle because you gave up one of your scullies. If that makes
right.
sense.
Right, absolutely,
so,
yeah.
We'll see.
Well, all right. Well, that was insightful for once.
Yeah, I like it.
That's good. Good stuff, Royal. All right, so we don't have a game to watch this weekend. So, I mean, as far as an Oklahoma State game, we don't have anything going on. So, I guess let's finish this thing off. Probably going to end up being our longest one. Well, maybe not. But it's getting up there in time. But let's go ahead and just name off some games. What are we going to be watching this weekend? If since we won't be watching the Pokes, anything sticking out? Cincy?
Yeah, there's definitely a couple. I'd say the one that I'm kind of the most curious about, it's probably not on anyone else's radar except for the two teams that are playing, by the way. But I'm kind of curious about this, the USC at Washington State.
Yeah.
I think Washington State is just a horrendous team. But
I think it's going to be close.
Sometimes,
it should go down to the wire.
About similar athletes on those two teams.
There are. You know, here's my thing. I think it's definitely going to be, you know, there's a solid chance it's going to be just a slaughter. But sometimes teams that are that bad in the same conference, you know, you get to a point where the other team just takes them so lightly and they get lucky, and I don't know. I'm curious to see if either A, they just get beat like 85-0, or if they somehow make it a game.
Somehow help our strength of schedule a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I don't know. Aside from the other games that are of interest, that's the one I'm going to kind of keep an eye on just for the novelty. of it.
Right. What about you, Royal?
I think it's obvious. I'm gonna go for OU at Cincinnati. I want to see. First of all, I want to see how Cincinnati plays at home. I know they got beat out west, but I want to see how they come back at home. I mean, and obviously OU struggled a bit with Utah State and Air Force, and that was in Norman. So I'm really curious to find out how they're going to play on the road against a spread offense like Cincinnati, because OU secondary has been questionable at times. So that'll be interesting to me. And then obviously everyone's going to tune in to see Bama and Arkansas. And we don't have enough time to bitch about it, but I'd really like to see Boise State get beat by Oregon State as well.
That game.
Absolutely.
If fucking Iowa was playing Oregon State, would anyone give a shit? Like, it's really that big of a game?
No.
It's sick that they give this Boise this big game status when they play a marginally decent team.
Yeah.
I'm
barely
too
upset in the top 25. And
we got to end this podcast.
Hey, speaking of that Arkansas-Alabama game, have you guys seen that Ryan Mallett guy play at all?
Yeah.
I think
not really.
I watched him last week against Georgia, and that dude is
pretty
impressive.
Yeah.
He's huge. He's like 6'6".
He's 6'6".
He has the check that game out, and his play action is it's unbelievable.
Well, they got beat by Bama pretty handily in Bama last year. I think it was 35-7 or something like that.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember the game, but I mean, obviously Arkansas is pretty improved. I don't know nearly enough about either team to give much analysis, but obviously everyone will be watching that one if they're not too pumped up about Oregon State Boise.
Yeah. Or USC Washington State.
Or that one. What about Texas UCLA? I'm kind of looking forward to that. UCLA is like, I guess, kind of the Kansas of the Pac-10. They can have some horrific losses and some nice wins.
Yeah, I don't know. That one's weird for me because, you know, I already seen UCLA. If it was at UCLA, it might be interesting to me.
Right.
Texas on the road that far away, but it's at Texas, and I've seen UCLA already get beat at Kansas State, so I don't know. I think Texas will win that game. To be honest with you, I'm a pretty loyal UCLA fan as well. So, but it's just one of those things.
A what?
Loyal UCLA fan.
Really?
After OSU, yeah. Crickets. Okay.
No. I don't know about that. Well, all right. Well, let's go ahead and call this thing quits. We will we'll be back next week previewing the A&M game. Be posting the rest of the week. I guess we won't be doing the live thread this weekend, so no need to mention that stuff. But thanks for listening. Catch you next time.
I sometimes see you pass outside my door. Hello, is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted, and my arms are open wide. Cause you know just what to say, and you know just what to do, and I want to tell